We're back, ladies and gentlemen, for this Faith and Freedom Show. This is David Allen Carmichael on WPMH 670 AM Talk Radio. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting that I put that harmonica thing in there. I just left it. I'll get rid of it someday. We're talking to Delegate Bob Marshall, and he's got a bill to extend the constitutionally guaranteed right to enjoyment of life to preborn human beings from the moment of fertilization. Get on board with that, folks. There's work that needs to be done. I just heard on the SRN News before the radio show came on today, actually before I got to the station, that there's a, I guess this congressman from Georgia, who has introduced a very similar bill in the U.S. Congress, and I talked to Rob Whitman and Thelma Drake, and, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I've had a tough day, and I just forgot everybody's name, but Bobby Scott and Randy Forbes and all those guys in our listening audience. You guys need to talk to these folks and get them on board and have them do that which is right instead of that which might seem to their minds to be politically expedient. With regard to this Real ID, Delegate, I noticed I was told you I looked at Mr. Cuccinelli's Senate bill, but I liked yours, by the way. I did, and I saw there's some things in his that I thought, ooh, they didn't define the word authorized. I mean, you know, that looks like who knows if anybody understands what the limits to the word authorized is. If authorized by law, they can get away with overcoming what we've just listed for them not to do. Your bill is pretty straightforward. It's got great definitions, and it's got great prohibitions, in my opinion. Now, there is something that you may not have noticed yet, because you probably wouldn't see this till January 14th, is there's a House Bill 1582, and it's doing this draconian criminal background check by anybody who has any kind of access to a home during their employment. And then there's another bill, it's 1585, and what it does is it says to check cashiers, this is just very entertaining stuff here, folks. It says to, if you want to cash a check at a check cashing place, the check cashing business must have a driver's license number, passport number, social security number, well-recognized, other recognized identification, nine-digit number. It says has to make a copy of that document, must get the person's fingerprint, must get a photograph of that person's face, and then it lists all the things that this company has to do to hold these records of your face and your nine-digit number and several other things and your fingerprints on file at their place of business at the check cashing place. Oh my goodness, it's extremely draconian. Were you aware of this stuff, Delegate Marshall?
Oh, actually, that sounds like an awful lot of hoops to jump through to cash a check.
Yes, it's scary. You can't buy or sell without doing not just the number, but all the other kind of crazy stuff. And then, like you said, not only is the government going to have these records on file, you know, in a PDF format or something, every check cashing place in Virginia would be a repository of this information. My goodness, but you hadn't heard of, I'm sure you don't go read a zillion bills before the session starts. I mean, who'd want to?
No, I mean, it's hard enough to read the ones that come out of committee.
That's right. So that's, as Sir William Blackstone would say, you're supposed to avert every dangerous innovation. So this, I'm going to have to get like a sound that we turn on for dangerous innovations. House Bill 1582 and 1585, that's free. That's the benefit of doing our homework to make sure when we get on the radio with you, we're really investigating what you're doing. I did have a question. I guess it was something that happened last year, and I don't know where it went. It was on the voter ID. You had a bill that made sure that people had proper documentation. How far did that bill go?
I basically wanted them to give the same documentation that we're asking for driver's licenses to get registered to vote. You know, it wasn't anything different. It was just basically applying the same standard we're using that we've used since 2004 for driver's license to get registered to vote.
And
because right now, I mean, it's, you know, you really don't have to prove who you are to register.
Right. You just, I went to vote one time in 2000, and all I had a registration card. I had read the law, and then they told me I couldn't vote because I didn't have a picture ID, a government-issued picture ID. And I said, but that's not what the law says. Are we making rules here? You know, fortunately, I knew the guy. And so I appealed to his Christian love.
Right.
You know, and I said, what's the authority? Is it the person who just told you how to do this, or is it the law? And then, of course, they let me vote with merely a voter registration card.
Right.
But And one of the things I saw in this bill, which was good, was that if somebody can't come up with a government ID, there's a provisional ballot, and it
right.
can be checked later, and they're not, they don't have to give in to like the Real ID Act in order to vote.
Right.
Yeah. So whatever happened with that, how far did that go?
Speaker didn't want it, so it got nowhere.
Okay. Well, that was interesting. And it was addressing the Real ID issues and the voter fraud things and everything like that.
Correct. Again, I'm just say, look, let's. I'm not against identification for these documents, but it's what you do with the other documents later that is an additional problem. And again, all we're going to ask is the same thing we ask for a driver's license, some kind of proof of who you are, a birth certificate or whatever, and that's fine. Then you keep the birth certificate. I don't want to have a copy of it later.
Yes.
You know.
Well, I want to tell you, Delegate, thank you for giving me your time, which is extremely valuable. Obviously, you're from Northern Virginia, but these things matter to our Hampton Roads listening audience. I found out about HB 3202 after the fact, after the implementation, after people complained, and then when I did the homework, I realized what kind of catastrophe it was at its inception. Just for me, it was a single object rule. It was just kind of hilariously
avoided. Well, I had to take
avoided.
A lot of flack, because in effect, I was suing the governor, the speaker, the attorney general, and about 80% of the General Assembly.
Yeah, all but 15 people.
Right.
All but 15 people that voted. And so
right.
that was, thank you, is what I'm saying. And I realized I'd just be causing too much trouble if I did it myself. But I thought, oh my goodness, I mean, my civic duty really, really got me, my blood was flowing there. But what I'm saying is, even though you're from Northern Virginia, these issues are critically important, and because people don't read the legislative information system, and this especially the fact that we've got this innocent blood on our hands, we got to do something on our watch.
Mm-hmm.
On our watch. Now, so after all this, you've got listening audience. Some people are from Northern Virginia just doing business down here right now. You've got the microphone. What would you like to say to our listeners?
Just pay attention to what we're doing, because your lives, your liberties, and your property depend upon it. And just watch. And now it's so easy. You don't have to go to Richmond. You can just look on the General Assembly website and see what bills we've introduced. And you can also be given email alerts when the status of the bill changes at any point.
And that's important for you, because you can't, like I just informed you of two important pieces of legislation that related to what you're working on, that there was, you know, you're going to read 1,500 bills. You know, I mean,
right.
Somebody will. Eventually it'll get to you. But
right.
it takes people like me and others who would look into it. And I also found out this year, I guess, people are going to be able to attend some subcommittee hearings that they weren't attending before, if they had something
to say. Well,
we're going
to take record votes. And again, I was the only Republican to oppose this last year, and I got punished for it. You know, in other words, basically no subcommittee votes would be recorded so you could see what I'm doing or not doing.
Right.
And I got knocked off chairmanship of two committees, vice chairmanship of two, was removed as subcommittee chairman from a couple committees, so I take an oath to defend the Constitution and my loyalties to there and my constituents, and it's not to a clack in Richmond, so.
Well, whenever you're tired of law and legislation, you just need to take up a talk show, that's all. I love what you had to say. And that's the theme, and we're going to press on with our Faith and Freedom show here in Hampton Roads, Virginia, talking about these issues of the day on a constitutional basis.
Okay.
A biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Really appreciate your time, and I know it's been a long day. And let's pray for our delegates in the legislation that they're working on this session. I appreciate your time, Delegate.
And have your citizens share their thoughts, because I may not necessarily pick up everything in a bill. I mean, I can't, read all these bills.
Yes. And, so. And yeah, I appreciate that. That's true. We just got to get on the ball. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Well, folks, that was a superb. I was thrilled when I found out that he could make it to our show today. This is some important stuff. And I think some people here, I have kind of a religious bent to this, and that's because it is a duty of our religion. It's a duty of our religion to do our civic duty. When we send people to up to Richmond, we can't just, and if anybody wants to give me a call right now at 465-6700, the line is open. But we do not have the ability, and that is 465-6700, we don't have the ability to all of us all at once go get in a big frenzy and argue over these issues. We need to have people in committees talking about things with sound minds. The sad part is you have people like what happened in House Bill 3202 telling somebody, if you do not vote yes, you will not be here next year. And these are people who are plugged into some powerful persuasion. And those threats are not fake. I mean, it's not, there's points when it's not really up to the voter. You're kind of voting on what somebody else's decision was, somebody with political power and influence. Fortunately, after the House Bill 3202 fiasco, some of those 15 people that voted no ended up being the heroes. And you heard from Delegate Marshall standing up for what his oath is to the Constitution. It's not to a party. It's very interesting the way we see with party politics is people are bending to the will of the party instead of their conscience. Why have an oath if you're not going to reference your decision-making on what you know to be true? And he used the term that they had some courage, that he was looking for people to be involved in law. You know, some people call it politics. I said, not politics. It's involved in law and government. See, government is a tool of law. It's an instrument of law. It's supposed to be carrying out law for our protection of our property and liberty. So what are we doing to make sure that we are saving our children and saving their liberty, making sure that we don't end up like what's happening in the Eastern Europe, but in Europe right now? Virginia's got a very strong homeschool protection. And I'll tell you, that was hard fought. I know people that suffered because they were standing up to teach their children at home, and the state, the bureaucracy, was coming against them with a vengeance. But there's people in Virginia have stood up for that, and it's affected the entire nation. And in Europe, just very recently, in the last 3 years in Germany, they went to the World Court, the World Civil Rights Court, over this homeschool issue, and they determined that Germany wasn't really intruding on somebody's rights when they told somebody, you must send your children to state indoctrination. It is criminal act to homeschool your children because they won't be properly taught what the state wants them to think. Folks, it is our job to tell the state what it thinks. That's what our job is. And our job is to make sure we know what's right or wrong. On this Faith and Freedom Show, we talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. If you go to our www.faithfreedoms.org, you can tune in. If it's scratchy on your radio, or you're right on the edge of our broadcast area or something like that, you can go in there and listen to the streaming. And there's a little note telling you which are the best things to use for that streaming capability. And if you have any questions about this, if you'd like my book, Faith, the Final Frontier, Stories in Real Life of Exciting Adventures of making sure that I'm doing things not my way, but the highway, and seeing some divine intervention in that way. What is your reference? What is your reference? What is the truth? We talked about Jesus. He was a guy who was probably a very famous abortion candidate as far as society and stigmas, but guess what? Savior of the world, good person to keep alive, good human being to keep alive. He said, if you stay in my words, if you live in my words, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what's your reference for truth? I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show on WPMH 670 AM Talk Radio.